I'm just grateful to be here with y'all. And again, I'm gonna shift gears a bit and go directly to the letter from the Birmingham jail. So one of my favorite quotes from Elder King is injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow provincial outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives in the United States can never be considered an outsider anywhere within its bounds. So when we talk about deepening sharing insight and vision, the biggest vision for me as an activist and rabble, I don't say hell raiser, it's like heaven raiser. Like I've been put in hellish circumstances, so I try and bring heaven to them, or at least divine consciousness. We think that we're separate at our peril. Your pain is my pain. Your stress is my stress. The harm that has been visited upon you is my harm, especially if you don't have the tools or awareness to escape that, or to end, or more importantly, to release that. So there is no, the deepest insight I've been given through the consistency of meditative and yogic practice is that, like, if you ain't good, I ain't good. And that can be heavy. But at the same time, I've heard Lama Rod Owens talk about this. Like, if we're all suffering, then we got something in common. Right? So, like, if suffering is the baseline of the human experience, you know, as an organizer, this lights me up. I'm like, so if we're all suffering, then let's talk about it. Right? So, as a teacher, I've been given three or four things to talk about that no one wants to talk about. So, I talk about race, right? I talk about grief and death. I talk about the lack of different bodies in yoga spaces, and I talk about the whitewashing of indigenous wisdom in dharmic spaces, right? So like that is what I've been given to share. And I found that as I talk openly about these things, people are like, yo, low key at first, and then I just keep talking. And then, so I've been able to build personally a counterculture in all of these different spaces, even in politics, because in politics, I had to quit my last job because I wasn't that liberal. And here's what I mean by that. Like, the root word of progressive is progress. People would be calcified in their opinions and not willing to make any compromise for the good of all. And all of my practices require me to consider the benefit of all. Not on some self-destructive, like masochistic shit. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, like, the delusion that we share, that we are separate, that you are an it as opposed to a sacred being in this tortured realm, right? Like, that othering of others is the foundation of all of systemic oppression. If I viewed you as sacred and I viewed what you offer as sacred, I wouldn't seek to diminish or destroy you. I would seek to empower you. I would seek to offer ways for you to be more whole. I would seek ways to create community and connection to alleviate your suffering and/or share a story with you and/or, right? So us, our societal inability to view each of us as sacred is the root of systemic oppression, which is why I say I'm a heaven raiser, because all I do in my teaching is declare my sacred and you that I'm sacred and so are you. So I wanted to put that in there as a practical tool. Outside of the headiness, right? Because I can dive into the deep end of the pool. I don't have a problem with that. But for the rest of our time together, I want to give you tidbits of things that you can take to lighten your load. Because if you come to this class and you got more stress, then I'm the worst. Right? Or more drama. Like, that's not why I'm on the earth. So the consideration, and the other thing I'll say to backtrack a bit, not to take back, but just to add something, just make a finer point. This is total me. I told you I accidentally met Martin Luther King III and his wife and his daughter on Sunday. The younger one, Yolanda, gave the most beautiful speech on the power of yet. We haven't won yet. Right? Our world wants everything to be binary, either or, won, lost, these sorts of things. But the nature of our reality is cyclical, ebb and flow. So if you believe, and this is what I liked about the title, it said, until systemic oppression is erased, until presupposes two things. One is impermanence, the second is that it's an eventuality that these things will be erased. I don't know if it'll be erased. I think lessened or ameliorated or mollified or probably better terms for me. But the power of yet. So as we tend to our needs, as we nurture and nourish one another, as we form what the elders call the beloved community, when I see your pain, I see my pain. And I do what I can to help you find a lightening of your load because that's what community does. That in and of itself is a radical confrontation to the systemic oppression that forces conformity and isolation. So, us organizing and validating one another's experience is a direct contrast to the nature of systemic oppression, which is to isolate and diminish. Wow, I can't believe I said that. But at the same time, how does that land with y'all?
I very much appreciate you talking about that concept of isolation because it's confounding.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me think of segregation. It makes me think of, you know, emotional silos
Right.
of disconnection. Yeah. So just really appreciate hearing that, those words.
And that's by design. Right. The other thing about systemic oppression, which requires resilience and persistence, is that if we don't confront it at all, but don't confront it with the long game in mind, it's designed to wear you out individually. Whereas if we bond, come together, nourish and nurture, I mean, I've been a part of like some ridiculous experiences. So in addition to like impeaching Donald Trump, I was part of Bernie Sanders' first campaign experience where regular people felt seen and flooded into the government. Flooded into the electoral process, right? Which created the margins in Gen Z, which stopped the red wave, right? So the work that we did in Burnville in 15 and 16 created the conditions for young people to give a shit that we've continued to nourish and nurture or try to imperfectly, but like try to, so that these people who were inspired at 17 and 18 are the Maxwell Frosts of the world. First Gen Z member of Congress, right? So when we resource again and again in community, we build the resilience en masse that can look systemic oppression in the face and be like, this shit stops now. You had your day, and I guess it was cute for you, but we trying to do some beautiful shit. Right? So that. And it's tearing apart and tearing asunder, Jerry, the isolationist instinct of capitalist structure, and remembering that we all got something going on to humanize that aspect. That's why I talk about grief. That's why I talk about loss. Everyone, like my grandmother, bless her soul, was like, if you live long enough, you're gonna lose something, wisdom, right? Right. So what do we do when loss manifests? Do we pretend like it doesn't happen to perpetuate delusion and suffering? or do we acknowledge it in community and figure out ways to lighten our load and put some sunshine on an otherwise gray situation, not on some good vibes only stuff, but to balance out darkness with light. I love darkness, you know, like whether it be the Dave Chappelle joke or just like that room back there, lights rarely come on. I sit and sound in darkness. And you know what emerges from that? Ideas, healing. Like before I came and talked to y'all, I read this book and sat in that room. So if I came in hot, it's blame it on the gong room, right? But holding space for one another again and again and again creates psycho-spiritual, not just psychosocial, muscle memory that's required for us to tear asunder systems of oppression. And sorry about all the big words. I told y'all I'm on deadline. So like all this stuff is just like, what? But one last quote I'd like to leave with, then we'll have a silent sit on the back end, is in my version, it's, I doubt that y'all have this version, but it's page 87, still the letter from the Birmingham jail. And it's a mention of zeitgeist. So oppressed people cannot remain oppressed forever. The yearning for freedom eventually manifests itself, and that is what happened to the American Negro. Something within him has reminded him of his birthright of freedom, and something without has reminded him that it can be gained. Consciously or unconsciously, he has been caught up by the zeitgeist. And with his Black brothers of Africa and his brown and yellow brothers of Asia, South America, and the Caribbean, the United States Negro is moving with a sense of great urgency toward the promised land of racial justice. Bam, first of all. Second of all, the reason I mentioned zeitgeist is, y'all, the pandemic stopped the world. And things have changed so much that I can be a credible teacher. Right? I've been to Omega. I've been to Kripalu. I've been to all these places. In 2 years, man, like in 2 years, I wasn't teaching 2 years ago, right? Like, so the zeitgeist is such that if we audaciously hold these practices in one another, change is here. Ketanji Brown Jackson, Kamala Harris, like, what else do we need to see? Like, those are the seeds that if we nourish those seeds, to quote the wisdom of Elder Thich Nhat Hanh, like, those are the seeds of the world as it is, that if we water. And the other beautiful thing about this too, is like I said, I saw a Black man walk down the stairs today in Annapolis as the governor of Maryland. Racist ass Maryland. Y'all don't know that we racist because they talk like the old line state. It was a border state. That just means y'all wanted us gone more. Frederick Douglass came from Maryland. Harriet Tubman came from Maryland, right? So like, in order for them to like sprout, how fucked up did it have to be here? Right? So the change that we hope for is here. The world may be on fire, but like quoting like yogic wisdom, the fire is where the phoenix rises. The phoenix rises from the ashes. But if we don't train ourselves to see adversity for the gift that it can be, then we miss out. Like I said, when I saw and felt Brother Floyd's murder, I was like, there is a window in the matrix. There's a glitch in the matrix that if I start teaching now and don't stop talking in 6 months, I'm gonna be a household name. And remember when I said that no one knew who I was, right? Right. So like I said that, got caught up in the zeitgeist and service, not like caught up on like some ego stuff. I tried to serve and share from my heart and mind what I saw and felt. That zeitgeist exists more profoundly, and the systems of oppression want us to forget that. Not me, homie. Not me. So that's what I want to leave you with. I want to leave you with the zeitgeist that exists, present tense. And what Yolanda King talked about, the power of yet. So if we believe in the present moment, and we in the present moment see how things are shifting, have shifted. There is a Black governor and a Southeast Asian Indian woman as lieutenant governor in Maryland, tobacco country. It's here. Yet when we are deluded by systemic oppression, we see this as a one-off as opposed to a harbinger. So that's why deepening our practice and deepening our insight and vision and wisdom are important, because do we see moments in isolation, or do we see them as a continuum that we have the opportunity to contribute to? So in true philosophical fashion, I'll leave y'all with that question. And I'm gonna be back in a couple months. So any other questions or thoughts? Like I said, it's a lot, but so what? So thumbs up to the side or down, how you feeling? Right on.
Activated.
Energized.
And I'm hopeful that this, not only this book, but just the way that I shared with you, showed you that this thing, which was written 60 years ago, holds pearls that we can string together and bling cats out. You know, so all the pearls that we shared or that you read or will read or whatever, because, you know, I want to give a shout out to those who didn't read, because that was me in college. You know, that was me in the training I just finished. People are like, what do you think of the content? I was like, yeah, so didn't really do it, but like, I think it was cool, right? So I want to give a shout out to that. But also, not to demean or diminish, but also say that for me, the best learning I've always had is presence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So to be an active listener, you may not say anything, but to be present with things as offered by the teacher, as offered by community, is its own wisdom and its own discipline. So any other thoughts? Otherwise, I'll take us through a meditation and hope that this gave you nourishment and not aggravation. Or if it's aggravation, like the aggravation is good for you.
Just enough.
Yep.
Thank you for the psycho-spiritual. That's, I'm going to be thinking about that a lot. That word, just that word. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, we're going to see you back in March.
Yep.
So this is not a goodbye.
Absolutely not.
I wanted to thank you for some validation that I didn't think I needed. It wasn't really seeking, but you kind of gave it anyway. So I'm in a season of receiving flowers when they sprout. Working a lot in psycho spaces, and I've been trying on something I've been doing with myself a lot, which is that when I have an emotion or just having a day, right, being, yes, I just look at myself and I'm so glad you're here, right? And then just that seems to open up everything. You're good at that, but I've been dropping that little gem with almost everyone I talk to. Like when they're upset, it's like, ooh, that sounds treacherous, glad you're here. And it feels like you validated that, and that idea that, like, acknowledge the sacred entity that we're all floating on, around, in, and all and all that good stuff.
Yep. No, you're welcome. And the other thing, the only reason I wore this Kango is because I was like, I'm someone from the hip hop era's governor. I'm wearing a Kango. But like, look, I'm with you on the hair tip, man. Like, we here, baby. We here. So you have found your kindred spirit, all right? So let's end in a meditative experience, y'all. So find a posture that allows you to be spacious in the heart, grounded in the body, and aware of the breath. and perhaps placing one hand on the heart, one hand on the belly, two hands on the heart, any place or placing hands on the body in a manner that grounds and opens it. In your mind's eye, make adjustments either through awareness or through your physical movement to keep the heart open. And of all the things that we talked about or meditated on during our time together, I want you to take what has inspired you the most and place it in your heart. So don't think about it, feel it. And notice the shift of holding a dream in your heart as opposed to holding it in your mind. When Elder King talked about having a dream, it wasn't like, I hope this shit works out. It was having the audacity to give voice to something that he held in his heart and to speak it into existence. Because we can't have dreams manifest if we don't think that they're true or possible. So as we hold space in our hearts for something that inspired us over our time together, on the inhale, nourish that dream. On the exhale, release anything that gets in the way, the shoulds, the can'ts, whatever. And just be with what remains. The resonance in the heart space of your dream. The fortification through the inhalation of that dream and the liberation that exists in the exhale of anything that casts aspersions on the power of your dream in the heart. The transition from the mind to the heart space is the essence of psycho-spirituality. So holding this dream for 30 seconds more and just noticing how holding space for it in community awakens the energy of creation. Taps into the zeitgeist that is beckoning for people to lean into it. Releasing hands from the heart and the belly, if you have them there, pressing palms together at the heart center. Three clearing breaths. The exhale, basically just to leave behind anything you don't want to take with you, stress, confusion, anger, all the above. Three clearing breaths, then we're done. Deep full inhale into the belly, ribs, and chest. Exhale, release what no longer serves. On some real stuff, not platitude. Inhale deeply. Exhale completely. Inhale again to your depth and your capacity. Exhale, release limiting beliefs. Bowing head towards hands as a gesture of reverence, surrendering the analytical mind to the wise heart. And I bow before each of you, Roshana, Jerry, Jennifer, Veronica, Richard, Lisa, and Vanessa. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. Until the next time I see you, love and grace. Peace.
Peace. Thank you, Reggie. Leaning into the zeitgeist. Wonderful to be with you.
Yeah, likewise. Can you imagine if we all leaned into this moment?
Seriously.
Like, I'm all in. I told y'all, I'm writing a book now. Like, I'm doing like curriculum stuff. Like, I'm all in. So look out 2023. This shit is mine.
Beautiful.
Can't wait to witness it.
Grateful to be on the path with you.
You're nourishing me, right? So like witness, sure, but thank you for giving me the space to articulate.
Absolutely.
Serve.
Sound. Sacred sound.
Absolutely.
Oh, have a beautiful, blessed night, everybody.
Indeed. Love and grace, y'all.
Thanks, everyone.